As I mentioned on the outset of the show, Michael O'Regan of Call from the Dáil here every Friday morning on Radio Kerry for the last three decades passed away in Dublin over the weekend. The sad news coming through to us yesterday evening. We're still really in shock, I suppose, that it. We'll be talking to a number of people who knew Michael and worked with him. We're going to start by speaking to Ger Colleran, former editor of Kerry's Eye and former editor of the Kerryman as well, who knows Michael and knew Michael for many, many years. Ger, thanks very much for taking this time this morning to talk to us. And look, our thoughts, first of all, with everyone, his family and everyone who knew him.
Oh, yes, and so I'd like to take my sympathy to the family, children and friends of Michael. It was quite a shock yesterday evening when I heard this. I was texted, and I didn't expect it because we only spoke there 3 or 4 weeks ago and had arranged to go for coffee. Michael has been suffering in health for some time and was on dialysis, but the one thing about Michael is that I never once heard him complain about it, except just to accept and get up and go and fight the good fight, which he did. But in terms of the type of man he was just an amazing person, in my view. He stood out as a man of great integrity from the first moment I met him, both personal, journalistic, and in terms of his devotion to the notion of fair play and truth in the job he did. And he took it very seriously, coupled, of course, with private and sometimes publicly expressed abhorrence of political violence. He was a magnificent man and a magnificent friend. You know, the type of friend that you have that is not living in your top pocket or wouldn't like that, but every time you met him, and it might be a year or even two or 6 months or whatever the period would be, it's as if you take up where you left off, as if you hadn't been separated at all. That's the type of man he was. And he was a great man. I was very fond of him. I miss what intermittent company we had. But I will always be rewarded, I think, by the fact that he was there in the Kerryman when I arrived. But he wasn't going to stay long. He was very smart, very young, very impressive. And I wasn't at all surprised when he was snapped up with the Irish Times.
Yeah, I went on to a very long and distinguished career there. He really loved politics, loved the ins and outs of it, loved the bear pit, as he called it.
He did. He loved it, and he was very fond of a lot of the various characters from throughout the spectrum of politics. Healy Reyes, Jackie in particular, I know he had a very good time for him, and respect for him. Dick Spring, he charted his career. And then when he went to national, of course, he was stuck in the middle of it all the time. And he was brought into the Times by people such as Douglas Gageby, one of the greatest editors in the 20th century in Ireland. And I remember one time, you see, there was sure the odd occasional story from Kerry, there was one of Garda Blagardin going on somewhere in North Kerry. I forget the details now, but I thought it was a bit of a hot potato for the Kerryman to handle alone, so I shared it with Michael, so that when the artillery opened up, they'd have to open up in the Irish Times as well. And they did, and myself and Michael and then editor Seamus McConville of the Kerryman and Susan Douglas Gageby were summoned to an internal Garda inquiry about this thing at Crumlin Garda station, and of course the union advised us to go. I didn't want to go at the time, a young talk and how dare the state summon us, but anyway they had a power and we went. But I knew that famously Gageby, as Michael said, came in. He was after breaking his ankle in some boating accident in Leitrim, at least that's the story, and which I believe, by the way, I'm not trying to dismiss it, but he came in with a crutch. He had a crutch, and he was furious to have an idea disrupted by this nonsense, and the language out of him was, I mean, a doctor would be like by comparison. And he went in, and there was a three-member panel with Sam Browns, and he told them how to stick with Sam Browns and everything else, and he was banging the crutch off the door, the chair, and everything. And then he came out with all this noise, and we were on there hollering, mouths open. he looked at me winking his head to teach him. And that was the end of that inquiry, because we had never heard another word about it. I think there was a Patch the Man's uncle who was on that tribunal of inquiry, which sank, yeah. Never to be heard of again. But Michael was a character. He was erudite, and one thing is sure, but when he went to the Times, it was clear that he was going to go somewhere Kerry couldn't hold him. But one thing I admired about him, apart from the integrity of the journalism, personality, and all the rest of it, is he had the most extraordinary voice for TV and radio. I often thought that he had been superb as an RT presenter, but I think he decided to stay with the Times and spent his time there to great effect, in my view, politically.
Yeah, indeed. Joe, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for taking time to talk to us and share your memories of the man this morning.
Thank you very much.
That's Joe Collar, and there, former editor of the Kerry Men newspaper, The Kerry's Eye, and The Irish Star, of course. Some people getting in touch. Patricia Walsh says, "Call from the Doll will never be the same. His witty view of life events will be missed by us all. Thoughts and prayers with Michael's family. A massively ploughed Kerry Man." That's a Tarbert listener, actually, who penned in that message. So thanks very much for that. Patricia Walsh said, "I had the pleasure of doing work for Michael during the Kerry Babies Tribunal, and he was a thorough gentleman." Mary Kennedy gets in touch this morning. "Morning, Joe. I just want to express my shock and sadness on the death of Michael O'Regan. I loved listening to him every week." And Mary, you certainly weren't alone, from the numbers of people who regularly contacted this programme and contacted me talking about how much they enjoyed Call from the Doll and enjoyed Michael. Michael O'Brien, "Condolences on the loss of Michael O'Regan, a brilliant political analyst." Well, with me in our studio in Tralee, we have General Manager of Radio Kerry, Fiona Stack, and we also have Maurice Moynihan of the Kerry Association, and we also have a political journalist himself, John Downing, of the Independent Group of Newspapers. Good morning to all of you, and thanks for talking to us in the programme. Fiona, look, I'll start with you. We're all still really reeling here in Radio Kerry at the very sad news of a man who we all knew very well.
Absolutely, Gerry. I think heartbroken is really the only word. Michael has worked with Radio Kerry since the very early days, so over 30 years, and just the same tributes as everybody else is paying. A gentleman, kind, supportive. You know, I think even the concept of the Call from the Doll, like, the Doll wouldn't probably be the most interesting place to a lot of people, but he just made it so interesting, so insightful. You know, the work he put into it in terms of, you know, often looking for the Kerry angle, but just explain stuff. And I think, you know, really wanted to hold democracy to account, but was also incredibly conscious of the personal lives of politicians and the toll. And he was always incredibly fair in his telling of it, and had a wicked sense of humour as well, which just was like the perfect you know, thing to bring it all together and to make it interesting and exciting. And he you know, really enjoyed his job, and I think that came across. And like, one of the themes that's been coming across too is he was just so supportive and so kind to young journalists, including all of us. You know, that he shared his skills, his trade. He was supportive. He made people feel like this, you know, they knew what they were doing in everything. And you know, even for like Radio Kerry in the early days, like, he had such credibility and such you know, context. Like, when maybe a Kerry politician such as Jackie Healy-Ray was taking up their seat in the Dáil, Michael was actually chair of the political committee of journalists in the Dáil, and would get us a pass to make sure that Radio Kerry was there and was able to report back on stuff. And we were so happy that even after he retired from the Irish Times, he continued to do Call from the Doll. And he was very much a regular listener to Radio Kerry on the app in his Dublin apartment, you know, especially for the match commentaries. And I think, you know, on a personal level, I'm very glad that the last time I met him was at the Kerry Association dinner in Dublin, where he was absolutely in his element last October. He was emceeing it, and he had loads of anecdotes. And I think what made that night particularly special for him was first of all, his daughter Deirdre was with him and her husband, but also the two winners on the night were Katie Hannan, another political journalist, so he was very proud of that, and then our own sports team Tim Moynihan and Ambrose were honoured on the night, and he was so proud of everything Kerry and so proud of Radio Kerry, and again kept everybody entertained for the night. So that was definitely a special night for everybody involved, and very glad to have been part of it. So our sincere sympathies to Michael's immediate family, but also to his family in Kerry, and I suppose thank them for sharing him with us.
Yeah, indeed. Maurice, listen, thanks very much for talking to us in the programme. I know everyone associated with the Kerry Association in Dublin will be obviously equally devastated at his passing. He was a real true Kerry man, loved his county and did a huge amount of work for your association.
Absolutely, and I think on behalf of the association, we'd like to echo what Fiona said and everybody said this morning, extend the Kerry Association's condolences on behalf of all of us to Michael's family. I think I've kind of reading the tributes this morning, everyone's kind of saying the same things. I suppose he was insightful, he was decent, he was fair. I think somebody said to me once, the best tribute can be paid about an Irish person is to say they were a decent man. And I think for Michael, he was a decent Kerry man. I think that came across in everything he came. He wasn't just from Kerry, he's from Anna. And he was the first person to tell you where exactly he was from. And it was that rooting himself in his place. So Michael was in school, in primary school, with my dad, with my uncles, and he loved that connection. Like, he'd been gone for 30 years, but he was always bringing back, how was this person, how was that person? And he loved that rooting in place. I think the Kerry Association then was a natural fit for him because it was an opportunity to engage with his county, and he loved those opportunities, Fiona, to emcee at our events, to be there. The last event we had was like Thursday last week. He was at Sive in the Gaiety. 38 people turned up, and Michael was texting our treasurer the next morning kind of going, we're flying. There's great numbers back, and he was just so proud of any association with the county. I think that was the reason as well for Call for the Dáil for so many years, that, you know, for somebody to reach the national stage where he was. But Call for the Dáil was so important to Michael because it was that connection back, and it was, how can I translate what I'm doing from my own county and my own people, and why shouldn't Kerry have the premier political journalist of the day every Friday morning? And that was just so important to him as well, that he was constantly giving back to the county, and we're going to miss him so much.
Yeah, we certainly are. And I know he was president, of course, of the Kerry Association, helped steer them through, I suppose, the difficult times of the pandemic and everything else like that, and kept things going, kept that connection going all the time, Maurice, through I suppose the association, through its work on the ground.
Absolutely. I mean, a difficult couple of years that everybody kind of stayed in touch, but I mean, to have somebody of Michael's gravitas as well to kind of bring back to events. I mean, when he was first MC again, we had like a delayed Iacuri for Dr. Patricia Sheehan for a couple of years, and we're there at the time kind of going, oh, who are we going to get to MC this? And it's like, who else would we get to MC this? Like, we have somebody with that voice, with that gravitas, with that sort of ability to bring people together. It was just to have that at your discretion every time. And actually, as Fiona's mentioning, Katie Hannon most recently, I remember at the nomination where Katie was selected as Kerry Person of the Year, and it was around the time RTE were taking a drubbing. You know, they were kind of in that position again. But Michael's thing was, you know, this is public service journalism at its best. He was so proud of Katie. He was so proud of any journalist who would make a stand in a situation like that. And he was delighted at Katie's nomination and when she was eventually selected as Kerry Person of the Year, because it was making that point of, this is what journalism is about, this is what it's supposed to be at its best. And the funny thing is, we were all sitting there kind of going, Michael could be talking about himself. He's talking about Katie Hannon, but in reality, he is describing himself, and he wouldn't even have had the self-awareness to kind of even say that. It was, you know, it's just all of us kind of going, he could be saying everything he's saying about Michael O'Regan, and that's what we loved about him. It wasn't for the glory, it was for what it was supposed to be about. It was supposed to be about truth and search for justice, and the fact that it was a Kerry woman in that position, he couldn't have been more proud.
Yeah, he certainly couldn't. John Downing, good morning to you, and thanks for talking to us in the programme this morning. You are in Leinster House. You were in Leinster House. You've worked the work that Michael has done, and like you've seen him up close in action over the years.
Absolutely, Gerry. A very, very heavy heart this morning. My memories are mainly of fun. John, another good political Kerry man, John O'Donoghue, used to describe where we are. You've been in Leinster House, Gerry, you know. Behind the press gallery there, what John O'Donoghue rather lovingly called, or maybe not lovingly, sometimes called the journalist cubby holes, little cubicles where we all used to sit. Michael's was down the hall from mine. When I'd get bored, I'd wander down to him. I remember Miriam Lord from the Irish Times used to roll her eyes when she'd see me coming in, because we'd just sit down and start telling each other shaggy dog stories. Times passed in the Kerry man, tales of the McElestrums, of the Springs, of the Moynihans, the Healy Rays, the other dynasties of politics in Kerry. It was the sense of history and perspective and continuity in politics, and he could relate. It was the local and the universal. But above all, I remember what I remember was fun and a good outcome for Miriam Lord and the other colleagues from the other papers would have been when he and I would lead the Leinster House Escape Committee and duck down a few streets and either go into Kyo's or Doheny and Nesbitt's or wherever. The Lemon and Duke was a favourite of his, and we'd have a few slight pints in the on a slow afternoon. So my memories of him are they're principally of laughter. This morning, because he had a big hearty laugh and he loved nothing better than a good story.
Yeah, he certainly did. And humour informed everything he did, I suppose, through his work and everything. He was great crack. Stay with me, John, with Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times. Well, we're going to take a quick break to get it out of the way. We'll be back talking about Michael O'Regan and his life after we take these. You were talking about the news of the passing of Michael O'Regan of Call from the Dáil fame. For many of you out there, for lots of you listening to us on Radio Kerry, we're hearing from Fiona Stack, from Maurice Moynihan of the Kerry Association in London, John Downing of the Irish Independent, and with Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times, with us where Michael worked for many decades. And Pat, look, it's very sad for everyone in the Irish Times who knew Michael as well this morning.
Yeah, Gerry, real air of sadness around the place today. Michael was really well known, really well loved by not just people in the Irish Times, I suppose, but, you know, people across Leinster House, where he was such a fixture for so long. You know, he was there, you know, he was there when I arrived there more than 20 years ago to cover politics as a young reporter. He was, even then, he was kind of looked up to by everybody as just having just an encyclopedic knowledge of how Leinster House worked. But also, he wasn't one of those people, some of us, I suppose, there's a risk in the job that we do that we become too focused on Leinster House, but Michael was never like that. He always knew politics was rooted in local communities, and that came from his, you know, that real feeling of being in touch with what was going on the ground in Kerry that he never lost, but he knew that that expanded across the country as well, that was how politics was very good to younger journalists. And while he was kind of an old style nuts and bolts reporter in many ways, he was also had a great connection with younger journalists. And many of my colleagues that have been in touch since the news broke last night have emphasized that, about how he always had time to chat to younger reporters, give them advice and encouragement in Leinster House. So yeah, we're all really, really sad at the news this morning.
When covering politics, he never kind of subscribed to the idea that they're all in it for the money or they're all in it for ego or power. He likes politicians.
He liked the company of politicians. He spent a lot of time in politicians' company, and I think he had an attachment to the idea of politics as a way to improve the lives of people. Now, he could be pretty ferocious when he saw, you know, people not living up to what he would see as the standards, the required standards of that calling. And, you know, we remember, you know, the anger that he still brought to some of his work, particularly when, you know, recalling the coverage of the Kerry Babies Tribunal that he did so capably for the Irish Times and gathered together in a book. But I'd echo, I suppose, you know, what John Downing was saying there. When I think of Michael, and the many conversations that I had with him over the years, he was always laughing about something. I think perhaps he was a really first-rate journalist, in part because he enjoyed it so much. And when you enjoy something, you're more likely to be good at it. And Michael was certainly very good at it.
Yeah, he certainly was. And John, as Pat said there, I mean, he knew about politics from the local as well. He used to inform it. And I suppose he came up through, and like that element of local politics, it exists very much in Leinster House, because you pull it all back to that famous phrase that politics is all local. And he knew about how rough and tough it could get from covering Kerry politics in the early days.
Absolutely. I'm reminded of a number of things. I mean, I always have the image of rural politicians, particularly, packing their car about lunchtime on Thursday and beginning their real week's work by firstly driving back, in the case of Kerry, all the way to the far end of the country, and starting their real week's work, which is doing the local politics and trying to ensure that they get re-elected. And without that, nothing. And Michael always had that sense that he did, as Pat Leahy said there, he did enjoy the company of politicians. He had a high regard for the profession of politics and an optimistic belief that politics, for all its flaws, democratic politics, for all its flaws, is all we have. And it's the only hope we have of bettering things, of resolving our difficulties and making things better. And he did have that core belief, and he expressed it in many sardonic and good-humoured ways. He'd be the last person on a soapbox preaching about anything. He'd far rather a pint and a laugh.
Yeah, he certainly would. Pat, he was a man, obviously, when he started, politics was a totally, or journalism was a totally different game, but never out of time, always ready to modernise and get involved, adapted to television and radio and the 24-hour news cycle very well, and was a key figure on that most maligned of social media places of Twitter or X or whatever it's called now.
Yeah, he was, and in fact, he was even more prolific in some respects, you know, in recent years than when he was writing parliamentary reports for the Irish Times. He was on Twitter a lot. And I think he was able to move seamlessly between print, radio, television, social media, because of his attachment to the basic principles of journalism. He wanted to tell the truth about things. He wanted to comment honestly on things as he saw them. And he was pretty fearless in doing that. And, you know, really, I think he had a sort of a first principles attachment to journalism. And that's one of the things, you know, that enabled him to keep going in recent years and keep going right the way through the pandemic, which, you know, must have been so isolating for Michael and of course, lots of other people. But he didn't flag during that period. He kept up his interest in politics and his detailed knowledge of how the electoral map of Ireland has changed so dramatically. That never flagged. He always kept up in that, and I guess that's because he followed politics so voraciously on a daily basis.
Yeah, certainly did. Fiona, if I can bring you back in, look, there's no really counting the ways in which he'll be missed by so many people. And a huge loss he'll be to hear us here in Radio Kerry, because I suppose of the way he did his column, his piece called From the Dáil every Friday through the very many presenters there have been of the Kerry Today programme. But bringing it back to what John said, I suppose he made it accessible to so many people. People who weren't even really that interested in politics would tune in to Call from the Dáil because of Michael, his voice, his humour, and the way he explained things to people.
Absolutely. And like over 30 years ago, it was probably one of the first of its kind in a radio column, you know, a spoken word piece. And Radio Kerry's tagline from the beginning has been the voice of the kingdom. And I think Michael absolutely gets that honour. He is one of the voices of the kingdom, you know, with us and in his job nationally. Proud Kerry person, but like incredibly astute in everything that he did. Like there was a nice message in this morning from Deputy Danny Healy-Ray saying, Michael Michael was one of the first people that predicted that his father would take the seat that time that he ran. And you know, he just, whether it was, he was a natural storyteller, and that came across in print and on radio, and we were so blessed to have the use of his voice for over 30 years. You know, I know other people have spoken about his coverage of the Kerry babies, and but also he wrote a very moving piece a couple of years ago when he was getting some cancer treatment, which I have absolutely no doubt helped others that were in the same position, and we'll miss him.
Yeah, yeah, we certainly will. Well, listen, look, I want to thank all of you for talking to us this morning, and Pat, you wrote a brilliant piece in the Irish Times, a brilliant tribute. So thanks for doing that this morning, and well worth checking out. John Downing, thanks for talking to us as well on the programme. And we have lots of people to get to, lots of comments. To Morris Moynihan as well of the Kerry Association in Dublin, thanks for giving us your reflections on the man. We have just oceans of tributes and kind words from people. We will get to them in the next hour of the programme. The Minister for Education, Norma Foley, has got in touch with us this morning. It's with great sadness I learned of the passing of Michael O'Regan, RIP. Michael was the consummate journalist, well-researched, well-informed, fair, impartial, passionate and compassionate in equal measure. He was a proud Kerryman and carried his county with pride in both his heart and in his voice. A superb and expert commentator on all things political, he was also a much-valued contributor on radio and television programmes. For those of us from Kerry, Michael was inextricably linked with Radio Kerry, an assured and reassuring voice and call from the Dáil. His razor-sharp wit and humour made his exchanges with Gerry O'Sullivan compelling, informative and enlightening. Kerry politicians and the local community waited with bated breath every Friday to hear his pronouncements, for they were delivered with absolute authority and conviction and accepted without question by the public at large. In his personal engagements, Michael was a thorough gentleman, thoughtful, generous and unfailingly polite. It was an absolute privilege to know him and to spend time in his company. He will be greatly missed, but remembered with gratitude and fondness always. I wish to express my sincere sympathy to his family, his Radio Kerry colleagues, and his readers and listeners throughout the county. Rest easy now, Michael. Thank you for everything. And Deputy Danny Healy-Ray gets in touch, says, we're all devastated and saddened by the sudden passing of the great Michael O'Regan, and will forever miss him. And his slot, Call from the Dáil, on Jerry's Friday morning programme on Radio Kerry. We want to offer our sincere sympathies to his family and friends, and to all of his followers all over the world. I have been following and listening to his views and opinions since early March 1997, when he gave my father a real possible chance of winning a Dáil seat the following June 1997 general election. His vast knowledge of politics, both local and national, acquired over his lifetime in political journalism, ensured the view he came out with was always right. As a Kerry political representative, it has always been important for me to listen to hear what his views were on the latest or any topic. His voice will never be forgotten. Rest in peace, Michael. And Mark Daly, Senator Mark Daly, gets in touch this morning. Says that since Michael O'Regan retired a number of years ago from service for the Irish Times and Leinster House, there's been a gap, and now he's sad passing, there'll be a gap on Fridays on Radio Kerry. To his family, relations and many friends, I offer my deepest condolences. And a number of more people getting in touch, we will get to those comments, so keep sending them in, your thoughts, your stories of Michael in his lifetime. We want to hear from you. Yeah, morning, Jerry. After the death of Jerry Ryan, I thought I'd find no other presenter I'd listen to, and then you came along, and I'd have you on in the background doing my work, but everything would stop for a Call from the Dáil. I'd love listening to Michael's views, insights and opinions of the political world, and love the way you bounced off each other. Can't believe last Friday was the last time I'd hear you both together. Just gutted. Condolences to you, to his family and his friends. I will miss him, I'm sure. I'll miss him for sure, comes in a listener. Yeah, indeed. We were only saying on Friday, we'll talk to you next week, but unfortunately that wasn't to be. Thanks for those kind words. Michael O'Regan, may he best and rest in peace. I'm sure he will be felt in the breeze around Leinster House and in Kenmare today. I told a friend of mine years ago to listen to him, as it was a great listen every week. I always remember her thanking me, as it was her break every Friday. He was just wonderfully Kerry. Kevin and Anne Moynihan, Ahados, is very sad to hear the death of Michael O'Regan. He was a great insight into politics. He was very interesting and had a great sense of humour. May he rest in peace. Donal O'Connor from Tarbert Island phoned to express his deepest sympathy to all in Radio Kerry and Michael's passing. Donal says Michael's a wonderful storyteller and always without judgment, and he will be greatly missed by family and friends. And Councillor Michael Cahill says, it's with great sadness that I heard of the passing of Michael O'Regan, a proud Kerryman and a top-class political journalist. My sincere sympathies go to his family at this sad time. Michael reported on Irish politics since the 80s, had an amazing insight into all political parties in the state. He's a former parliamentary correspondent of the Irish Times and presenter of Call from the Dáil on Radio Kerry. Michael was a gentleman, the true sense of the word. He'll be sorely missed by all who knew him. He had a brilliant radio voice, and his newspaper columns and radio broadcasts were eagerly awaited by all those with an interest in Irish politics, both local and national. Erdyeshe Gurev Anamilis, added Councillor Cahill, and Mayor of Tralee, Johnny Wall. I worked with Michael in the Kerryman. He was a wonderful, kind and witty person. He was a great journalist as well. My deepest sympathies to Michael's family. Dan Kiley in Ballybunion, knew Michael for over 50 years. First got to know Michael when he was a Kerryman correspondent, covered the Bachelor Festival in Ballybunion, which Dan was involved with. Deputy Pat Daly gets in touch and says, Irish journalism had lost a giant, going back to his pioneering work exposing what went on in the Kerry Babies investigation to his appearance on radio and TV last week. He had a magnificent career. He clearly loved his job and shared that love. He loved the intrigue of Leinster House without ever becoming too cynical. He would be sorely missed. My sympathies for all his family, says Deputy Pat Daly. Councillor John O'Donoghue of the Kerry Independent Alliance, I'm very sorry to hear of Michael's passing. I listen back to your show most nights, and his segment each week was always one of the highlights. I did not know him personally, but he's one of those familiar voices you felt was a friend. His witty and insightful observations on political life will be sorely missed from Kerry and from Radio Kerry and Kerry Today and from Twitter. My condolences to the Radio Kerry family, and more especially to his own family. May he rest in peace. And hi, Jerry. So very sorry to hear of Michael's sudden passing. I just loved Call from the Dáil. He had a wonderful turn of phrase. My favourite was, it beggars belief. Listened to him last Friday praising Brendan Griffin and saying what a mistake Leo Varadkar had made not finding a place for him in the cabinet. A biased Kerryman to the end, says Geraldine Moore in Dingle. But he certainly was a true Kerryman, that's for sure. His melodious and distinctive voice, along with his analytical and insightful observations of political life, were unparalleled. His knowledge and love for his native Kerry was infectious. His erudition and humour were a perfect match that made listening to him a thought-provoking and most enjoyable experience. That comes in from Sean de Bruin this morning. Goravlava imaskaniev kiri agasadiriacht. Hi, Jerry. Shocked and saddened on hearing of Michael O'Regan's passing. Always enjoyed his wit and humour and Call from the Dáil and his view on all things political. My condolences to his family and friends. RIP, that comes in from Charles. Thanks for that this morning. Charles Dermot in Tousist says, Michael O'Regan, God rest his soul. I used to enjoy listening to him doing Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today. Sympathy to all his family members. And another listener gets in touch and says, so saddened and shocked at Michael's sudden passing. He was a voice of reason. He always gave a balanced and professional response to political issues, and he always spoke favourably of Kerry politicians. He was first and foremost a Kerry man, which was very evident in what he said and wrote. We will all miss his Call from the Dáil on Friday mornings. Sleep in peace, Michael Acara. And good morning, Jerry. It's a sad day. I love Michael O'Regan, you and himself in the mornings, as a great man. Says it as it was always. May he rest in peace, says a listener. If you have a view for us on any of that, get in touch with us on the show on 066 712 3666. And look, with that in mind, I pulled together a number of clips from different times over recent years, and also you'll hear at the start of this segment reminding us of Michael's wonderful voice and his insightful comments and also his humour, his analysis of the Healy Ray vote hall of the 2016 general election. Have a listen.
It is the biggest headline in terms of the constituencies. Kerry now becomes arguably the most interesting. 20,378, Danny Healy Ray 9,991. It's breathtaking in its enormity, and it shows you the level of organisation the Healy Rays have now within the Kerry constituency. When you think about it, here was a new constituency, a new five-seater. One would have thought that the South Kerry-based politicians might have some difficulty, you know, in making inroads into North Kerry. But clearly in the Healy Ray case, it was a scorched earth strategy where they mopped up votes everywhere. And obviously, they had moved into North Kerry quite a long time back in preparation for this. But it really is an astonishing figure and not equaled anywhere around the country. It's remarkable. It's, as I say, it's breathtaking.
But of course, as soon as Kegsit comes in, Michael, you'll have your own jet to fly around on, no doubt.
I'll have my own jet, and it'll be much higher quality, Gerry. I will reveal next week, Gerry, my travels in the government jet and the quality of the German jet. It wasn't all, by the way, about champagne and lying back, just in case people think it is. But I'll tell you all next week.
It's not as glamorous as it sounds.
When you suggest tanks on the street, moving towards the county council buildings in Tralee, probably, Gerry, taking over the local radio station.
I'm worried for myself, Michael. I'll be the first one taken out.
Precisely. Control of Radio Kerry will be central. Now, you'll be taken out, Gerry, blindfolded. Your fate after that, I'd worry seriously about it.
I better change my ways, Michael. Now, Michael, did you get the coronation mug I sent you in the post to celebrate this weekend?
I did, Gerry, and thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
It's staring in front of me now. I think Prince Charles winked at me at one stage. I have to say this, I'm grateful for it, and good luck with your coronation party in Kenmare tomorrow night during an election campaign in the 1980s. Charles Haughey, who himself, by the way, at that time lived in a Gandon mansion in North Dublin, and he telling the square in Cavan, and he giving out about the people of Dublin 4. He giving out as well about Gareth Fitzgerald having lunch with the Duke of Norfolk. People of Cavan, you won't see me having lunch with the Duke of Norfolk.
Michael, and please God, you have access to GAA Go on your yacht off the coast of Saint-Tropez.
Gerry, I will send you text messages from there, and I'll float balloons. And by the way, Gerry, I use my green and gold flip-flops.
Fantastic. Don't mention the flip-flops, Michael, please God.
Nothing, Gerry, as you know well, rivals the bear pit that is Kerry politics.
Indeed.
And who's to blame for that? Daniel O'Connell. Sure. He's who would take his opponent so seriously to have a duel. Good luck to Dan and the launch of his book. I'm delighted that he's put it all down on paper.
Brilliant stuff. The final count, Dan Kiely, a warrior of the Kerry political bear pit for many years. Yeah, there you go. That is just a little bit of what made Michael O'Regan such a brilliant contributor to us here on Radio Kerry on Call from the Dáil. Everything informed with wit and intelligence and humour, that's for sure. If you have any views coming into us on the show, get in touch with us on the programme at 066 713 666. Micheál Martin, the Tánaiste, has been tweeting, very saddened at the passing of Michael O'Regan, an outstanding journalist, raconteur and man of integrity, a political journalist for all of my Dáil career. Michael was engaging, objective and great company, a Kerry man to his core. He will be missed by all. That's the Tánaiste and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin, getting in touch. And as well, Martin Ferris, former Sinn Féin TD. Hi, Gerry, I was deeply saddened to hear of the death of Michael O'Regan. During my time as a TD, I always found him to be a very fair and balanced political correspondent. I used to often meet him in the corridors of Leinster House, and he would always stop for a chat, and we became good friends over the years. He was always very proud of his Kerry roots. I want to express my deep sympathies to Michael's family and his colleagues in journalism, particularly all of you in the Radio Kerry team. He will be greatly missed. That comes in from Martin Ferris, former TD for Sinn Féin. Now, the former presenter of Kerry Today, the first presenter of Kerry Today, is Tom Maguire, and he's with me in the line. Tom, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us on this sad morning.
Good morning, Gerry, and it is a really sad time, a sad time for Kerry, a sad time particularly, and my condolences to Michael and his family, but to that broader political family, to the broadcasting family, and just to the family of current affairs, wherever they are, that Michael always had a meaningful, witty and precise contribution to make to that.
Yeah, he certainly did. How did it all start, Tom?
It was really interesting. It started from a bit of support from the Kerry Association in Dublin, who talked with Dan Collins and myself at the time and said, look, we'd like to make some contribution. And it was a brilliant contribution because it started with a Friday morning call from Dublin and it went on a rotation. And, you know, it was a Hall of Fame rotation when you think that Michael O'Regan was in that. Paddy Moriarty, who was then chief executive of the ESB. His brother, Micheál Muirchertach, who was the preeminent GA commentator at the time. Angus Fanning, who was then editor of the Sunday Independent. and latterly Eamon O'Harragan, who is now head of Coltis. So you can see in that, at the beginning, that's how it started, and we rotated week by week. And then it kind of emerged that the Dáil was important as well. So Michael became more and more irregular, because you'll have to remember that we had no social media, we had no www websites either. And then we realized that the people would ask, well, what are Kerry TDs doing in the Dáil and what's going on? And that's how Call from the Dáil was born out of that. And we continued with Michael. And he would, I think that the politicians themselves loved it, but you have to remember the early 90s, and you were talking about a bear pit beforehand, but that was halcyon days of politics as well. You know, the Spring Dynasty was there. The McElstrom Foley battle was always there, along with Dan Kiely. And you were looking at how Jim Deanahan had emerged from kind of a Fine Gael wasteland. And that had grown. So it was a very interesting new and really young group of politicians that were there that went right to the top. And Michael was able to give you that. But not only did he talk about the ministers and those whose names were in lights, as it were, he also talked about the backbenchers and the members of the Shannon. He took an interest in Kerry County Council, because he had been back for all of those things. That he never left Corraheen in a way, you know.
No.
He'd been back for the Kerry babies, and he was through all of that. And but the Call from the Dáil really began around that time, somewhere in 1990. So that continued along with the Kerry Call from Dublin.
Yeah, certainly did. And look, stay with me, Tom. We also have Sean O'Hargan, former mayor of Kilkenny, originally from Waterville, of course, with us on the line. Sean, good morning to you.
Memory and huge sympathies to all in Corraheen this morning, and all who knew Michael and loved Michael as we all did. Anybody who got to know him on a personal level, I think we all feel very bereft this morning. And I suppose we had watched the struggle with health issues over the last number of years, but really thought that he was going to keep going, and you know, hugely sad this morning.
Yeah, massively sad. You shared his first day of broadcasting with Mike,
Tom will remember that what happened on the first day was very innovative, because the station literally broadcast from kitchens and from libraries and from every spot around the county. And we were very lucky, because Labour Youth Summer Festival was on in Waterville on the very day. And in fact, the night before, we had candidate Mary Robinson speak to us on one of her first public engagements during the presidential campaign. And we had a great chat with Tom live on air, but one of the people that featured also was Michael. And I suppose I was in Dublin at the time. In the normal way, you socialised in the Dáil in those days and around the Dáil, and Michael was just ever present. And the one thing I would say about him, he was hugely encouraging to young people who were getting involved in politics. And I suppose I was one of those people in my early 20s, and he always made time to chat. And the other thing, I know you mentioned it there, and Tom mentioned it, his role in the Kerry Association. I know my aunt Helen Mulhern in Drumcondra was one of that coterie people that Michael, he played such a strong part in strengthening the Kerry Association in Dublin and making sure that it was always to the fore. But you know, he was just great fun, as I said, and he seemed to be everywhere. You know, you met him anywhere that was socialising going on. You always met him after matches, whether it was up in the Shakespeare or in the Palace, or you know, any of the places after the game, analysing the game, and then of course constantly analysing politics and all the fun that went with it.
Yeah, it certainly was. And like, he was a real fixture in Dublin for Kerry people, of course. You said he was a bit like Con Hoolihan, really. He seemed to be everywhere and know everyone.
He did, and always. I mean, you know, you'd walk into Mulligan's on a Sunday night after a match, and Con Hoolihan would drag you into the corner to talk about the game. Michael was exactly the same. No matter where we were as Kerry people, he would find us and he'd have the chat, and always encouraging. And of course, I was getting the little bit of political information as well when he could. and making sure that he had his sources right. And I'd have to say, I think, you know, maybe on behalf of the Kerry diaspora who are living away, you know, whether it was live on Friday morning or whether it was the podcast, you know, once the programme went online later on a Friday afternoon, that half nine slot on a Friday morning just meant so much to all of us. It kept us in touch with everything that was happening on a political level at home and in the Oireachtas as well, as Michael covered it so well. But, you know, many people have talked about his voice and, you know, his physical presence as well, Gerry. You know, I'm a small age. Michael was this towering figure in every way, and this big grip of a handshake and the big laugh and great fun that we had on so many occasions. And, you know, I think as well, a number of people have mentioned Twitter or X or whatever it's called these days. You know, he in many ways embodied, and we hear a lot of what's bad about Twitter and what's negative about it, but Michael, you know, made so much positive use of Twitter and made such a contribution in a kind of a non-combative way, but a very straight and honest way as well at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, that certainly is the situation. He seemed to be able to float above it. And Tom, listen, he like, with regards to Radio Kerry, I started Radio Kerry in 1997, got to know Michael through that, and I've known him ever since. I knew him when I was in Dublin and working in News Talk, and he was in there almost nearly every day because he was such a brilliant communicator and such a brilliant analyst for all the radio shows. But there wasn't a young journalist from Kerry who didn't help somewhere along the way. That was one of, he was very generous with his time to help young journalists, and many of whom have gone on to I suppose fame and national and international journalism.
Any association with Kerry, and a real generous spirit. The one story that I'd remember, and I don't think I've ever told anyone before except he knew it, that there was one night in the early 90s and the telecommunications workers had their conference in the Brandon Hotel, as it was in Tralee. And we were sitting at the dinner, and we were about finished dinner and going to have some libation, and he put his hand on my shoulder and he says, "Come here, Tom, I want you for a minute." And we walked out to the foyer and he said, "I think we'll be going home." And I said, "Why?" Well, he said, "There's a story in the Irish Times tomorrow morning that's going to be earth-shattering for the country, but especially for Kerry. Now," he said, "I'm not supposed to tell you that, but I want you to be prepared." And it was the next morning that the Irish Times broke the Bishop Casey story. And it was at 11 o'clock the night before I heard it from Michael O'Regan. And there was no other way you would hear that. But that kind of epitomizes the generous spirit that Radio Kerry were never going to be in a position to gazump the Irish Times at the time. But he wanted us to be prepared, that we had to tell the story. And within 10 minutes of the programme going on air the next morning, Michael O'Regan, who had been staying with me in Tubrid in Ardfert, where I lived at the time, had all his copy done, had finished his bit, and walked in the door of the studio and sat down and gave his take on it. And that's the spirit of generosity that the man had, and the importance that Kerry had for him.
Yeah, yeah, that certainly is the case, that's for sure. And certainly it just goes to show he touched so many people. And as Sean was saying there, Tom, Call from the Dáil was one of the slots or parts of the schedule that helped establish Radio Kerry, I think, as a fixture for so many people.
Absolutely. And it showed the complementarity between national broadcasting and regional broadcasting. And it also, you know, just provided that voice. It provided that window into what was going on. And this wasn't someone, as Michael would have said, of the D4 who were talking to people in Tuscist or in Tubrid or in Tarbert. It wasn't someone like that. It was one of their own. And he knew he had to come back and talk to them. He knew that every comment we made on a Friday morning, and there were times we had some fun, and there were times we got into trouble as well. But you had to be able to stand over what you said, and it had to be fair, and it had to be balanced. And, you know, now and again you could poke the bear, but you wanted to beware when you poked the bear.
Yeah, you certainly did, that's for sure. Okay, well, listen, look, my thanks to both of you for talking to us on the programme this morning and giving us your recollections and remembrances of Michael O'Regan, the man and the friend and the human being and the brilliant political analyst that he was.